You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
John McClain in studio with us, brought to you by HornSolutions.net. He is the general. So, John, interesting week over at NRG Stadium. You had alluded to the changes that would be coming, and I think, well, let's start with Chris Olsen, who is out as senior VP of football administration. What is this, in your mind, a precursor to? Is this a precursor to a general manager coming in? Is it a precursor to a new cap person coming in? What do we read into this move?
First, let me say for the thousandth time, no matter what they do, Bill O'Brien will have the power. They could bring in a general manager, and Bill O'Brien's going to have the power.
It'd be
like it is in Oakland, Seattle, Kansas City, New Orleans. All those teams have general managers, and the coaches have final say on personnel. That's the way it will always be as long as O'Brien is here. I don't think it means they're bringing in a general manager. General managers don't negotiate contracts. They have people under them who negotiate contracts. And they've got a guy, Kevin Krakovic, his last name, and he's done it there every year with Chris Olsen. That was the only move that surprised me. Chris Olsen's regarded as one of the best in the NFL at handling a salary cap and negotiating contracts. And so he's out, and I would guess that he'd bring somebody else in because this is probably the biggest offseason they've ever had. I think that Watson will be the second highest paid player in NFL history compared to Patrick Mahomes, and I think Tunsil will be the highest paid offensive lineman, trying to sign Zach Cunningham to an extension. They got 19 unrestricted free agents. Obviously, not all of them be out there, and plus they're going to be kind of active in free agency if they don't use all their money re-signing players and signing those others to extensions. So that was one that surprised me.
I guess I know it doesn't mean that they're signing a general manager, but isn't it conceivable that it could be clearing the way to say whether it was hypothetically Nick Casario or maybe somebody else that Bill O'Brien has his eye on that, all right, you come in here and then you can bring your own cap guy or contract negotiator or what have you.
As long as people understand Bill's running the show.
Right.
But how many GMs? Casario, his contract's up in May. So unless you give compensation to the Patriots, maybe that still doesn't work. But I don't believe Casario's coming here as GM. Maybe in May, because he's tight with O'Brien and Easterby, he comes at like executive VP of football ops, something like that, give him that kind of title. But he knew last year when he wanted to come as GM, Bill was going to have final say on personnel.
Right, which I guess is like, that's why I guess I don't see that as being an impediment. If that was going to be the situation last year, then why all of a sudden would he not come here because he's not going to have total power?
Yeah, it wouldn't be, but he can't get out of his contract till May. And you got to have somebody who's going to be doing all these deals. So they got to bring in somebody. Now, maybe they're going to give up their second-round pick this year for Casario,
wouldn't
that be unbelievable?
That would be terrible.
But I don't see it happening. I think they'll hire somebody else. I think it's somebody Jack Easterby has worked with. Jack is the assistant GM without the title. O'Brien's the GM without the title. That's the way they operate. Easterby does a lot of the GM duties for O'Brien because Bill doesn't have time to look over budgets and contracts and health and all those things, rehab and strength and conditioning and all that. So Easterby does it for him. And but that finding somebody replace Chris Olsen is going to be a really, really big move for this organization when you've had somebody that's one of the best for 13 years.
John, I heard you yesterday on with the guys on In the Loop when you were doing the leg hiking segment, and they asked you about Casario. And I know it's one of these things, you got to say yes or you got to say no. And you seem to be on the side that you think Casario, it sounds like you think Casario still is coming here.
I think it's a possibility because his contract's up, every other position's been filled.
Why would he come here?
Because he's really tight with O'Brien and Easterby.
But to work with his buddies, that would be the thing?
I guess, because they've convinced him they got a good thing going here, and he'd be part of it, and he could help him go to the Super Bowl. But on the other hand, maybe he'll go somewhere else. But the GM jobs where you're in charge have filled by the time your contract's up.
Well, and the league seems to be changing, too, right? I mean, this structure, I'm not saying everybody's going with the same structure as the Texans, where it's, you know, they kind of stumbled into this thing. But there does seem to be a shift in how much power coaches are getting now. Like, could we see a day where the conventional general manager coach structure that we've seen for so many years is actually the exception rather than the rule?
Maybe. I mean, the only one of the ones I've mentioned, Gruden Super Bowl, Carroll Super Bowl, Peyton Super Bowl, Belichick, of course, Super Bowl.
And O'Brien.
Andy Reid's been to a Super Bowl. This is his second. He's yet to win one. And then there's O'Brien and some of these newer coaches, like Cleveland doesn't have a GM, and Kevin Stefanski's there. I can't imagine they gave him control over personnel. Washington doesn't have a general manager. And who did they hire?
They hired Ron Rivera.
So Ron Rivera, I'm told, has been given control of personnel.
He made a Super Bowl.
Matt Rhule has a guy there who's been working there forever. My mind's gone blank. And a former sports writer. And so Marty Herney. But a guy going into the NFL from college, I can't imagine he would want control over personnel right off the bat. So more and more doing that, just depending on how bad they want you. And, of course, we all know Mike McCarthy will not have control.
That's right.
I think the biggest thing, if you look at those guys, all those guys that have control, and it's funny because Andy Reid, when he first got to Kansas City, didn't have control, and he was talking. He wouldn't shut up about how much he loved not having control because he didn't have to worry about it. And then, bam.
Dorsey, gone.
Within 2 years, yeah. Gone. I've got control. Yeah. I think that the whole thing about being both the GM and the head coach is it's almost – none of it has to do with intelligence. It's all about discipline and self-control and wisdom. You know, there's a difference between intelligence and wisdom. Mm-hmm. Wisdom involves a certain amount of restraint and self-knowledge. And the hardest thing for a coach to do is to tell himself no, to be able to say, well, I'm not going to sacrifice the future for the current. And Belichick does a masterful job of that. I guess we're still waiting to see, because if it involves patience, we don't know until a couple years have passed how good is Bill O'Brien at telling himself no.
Yeah.
So far, he's gotten really aggressive at trying to fix a couple problems real quickly with a lot of draft future assets. Now we see, okay, what do you do? What do you do without all those assets?
Those other general managers, the other teams that have GMs, the coaches just worry about personnel. They don't worry about the big GM picture. One of the things about Brian Gain, he didn't like doing all those other things. He wanted to just do personnel. And if you got a GM, or in this case, you got Jack Easterby, who's assistant GM, Bill O'Brien can focus on personnel. And if he wants something done in another area, he can ask Easterby what he thinks about it and then report back, and Bill makes a decision. And then he runs it by Cal McNair, and Cal signs off on everything O'Brien and Easterby want to do. So I can't wait to see what happens with Caserio. Still don't understand why he wanted out last year, and if it was because he, but he didn't re-sign. You know, he and their personnel expert Monty Osenford, who was here for a while, he's very highly thought of. I saw a guy in their organization, a new one that's highly thought of. Don't know if his contract's running out, but a lot of people think that if Brady leaves, that ship is going down, and I can't wait to see how things turn without Brady, if indeed he goes.
John McClain in studio with us, brought to you by HornSolutions.net. John, let's shift gears over to Romeo Crennel and Anthony Weaver. First, do we expect Romeo Crennel to be back in some capacity?
Yeah, I think Romeo will be like it was in 2017. He'll be a sounding board for Weaver the way he was with Vrabel. Weaver, it's one of those deals, if you don't promote him, you're going to lose him. Anthony is very highly thought of as a prospect to be a coordinator. He's been overseeing the pass rush as well as the defensive line, and he's ready to get his chance and make the calls, and having Romeo there to bounce things off of is great for him. And everybody knew it was coming, and it's not surprising at all.
You know, and I think we've had this conversation about, okay, is the defensive personnel going to change in terms of how it looks on the field? Because the Texans have had all these guys, these DJ Reader, Angelo Blackson, Brandon Dunn types, big stocky guys. And until they brought in Charles Omenihu this year, J.J. Watt was kind of the only hybrid player they had. I think that Weaver had something to do with Omenihu being here. I think you look at Weaver.
I don't know. He might have.
Yeah, I think he did.
Sure, he signed off on it.
Right. So I think that there's probably going to be a more dynamic look to the defense. I think Weaver's input is going to be more about finding guys like Omenihu.
Yeah.
That it's not, you can't just be. Sometimes Romeo Crennel, I think, is focused still on a version of football that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Of like having big beef eaters up front that can stuff the run, but not necessarily do a whole lot of other stuff. It's hard to be like that anymore in the NFL, and I think maybe Weaver understands that a bit more.
And they didn't even do that this season. The run defense from the midway point on was awful, and they better target the defense. You know, last year they targeted the offense. Offense still needs tweaking, but the defense, the pass rush has got to improve. And then, of course, the coverage. They could lose Bradley Roby. Jay Joe said he still wants to play. I don't know what they think about him. His playing time was diminished. You know, they played Gary Conley and Vernon Hargraves and like Kepelani Johnson and Jay Joe on the bench. And so they need people, I'm guessing, at corner. And then, of course, they need better pass rushers. So they've got to target the defense the way they did the offense last offseason.
What's your sense on Roby, whether or not he'll be back, John?
Last year, I thought boosting Tyrann Mathieu's salary from $7 to $11 million, boy, that's a good deal. They're going to get him back. KC gave him 14, and he's earned it. He had a great season, the best he's had since 2015, and now he's in the Super Bowl. So I don't know. I don't think that Roby was as good at corner as Mathieu was at safety. And I don't know if seeing what Mathieu did would make them want to pay more for Roby. I'm guessing Roby's gone. I think he's going to be 27 or 28, which is still young. And somebody with a lot of cap money, and there are teams with obscene amounts of cap money, would pay Roby more than the Texans will budget for him.
Well, that's what I wonder, because last year he reportedly gotten a 3-year deal for $30 million, I believe, an offer.
Somebody,
And Roby bet on himself, kind of like Tyrann Mathieu, and said, "No, I'm going to take the 1-year deal mm-hmm. and see if I can get better." I wonder if he's going to get better than that this year. And because I think a lot of the same questions and knocks on him will remain is, okay, is he consistent? Is he going to be able to stay healthy after this year? All of that. And maybe the Texans, after having 1 year with him, feel like, okay, you are worth that 3 years, $30 million.
Maybe.
So I'd like to see Roby here. I think Roby's going to have to, like, John, do you think Roby would stay even if he understood that there's a good chance he'll end up being the third cornerback?
I'm guessing he's going where the money is, and it doesn't matter. And what did Kareem get from Denver last year? Was it 23 guaranteed?
I don't know. I think it was 20. It was 3 years, $33 million.
And so he's not going to get less than that.
Yeah.
And it's so funny when you look back at that Kansas City game. Two of the things they wanted to do was shut down the running backs. They did a great job. And to keep Tyreek Hill from beating them, did a great job. And they only gave up 51 points.
Yeah.
And Roby had a lot to do with that with Hill. So he had a great game against Hill last year at Denver. So people see that and they go, yeah, he was hurt for, what did he miss, three, four, five games, something like that. But I think because corners are in such short supply, he can run, he can tackle, he can play inside or outside. I think we're going to look at his contract like we did Tyrann Mathieu and go, wow.
I think he's just one of the – I know he was banged up this year, Bradley Roby, with the hamstring. He's one of the few guys on this defense that has – some really elite or near elite traits. You know,
he does, and if you're going to overpay for somebody, overpay for somebody you know, somebody who's in your system, somebody you've seen behind the scenes, know that how they deal with coaches, how they are off the field. Bill O'Brien's big deal is team guy. So maybe they overpay for Roby.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.